This is a GabNet flashback. I'm Rob Alfano. The date is June 6, 1971. It's the second night of performances at the Fillmore East in New York City. These two nights would produce a live concept-like album called Fillmore East, June 1971, by Frank Zappa and the Mothers. As an encore on this night, John Lennon and Yoko Ono emerged from the wings to play half an hour set with the band. Now, this was released separately under John's name on an album called Live Jam. 2 days later, John and Yoko appeared on Alex Bennett's radio program on WPLJ in New York City. At the time, PLJ was a rock station. Almost 43 years later to the day, GabNet is playing this interview back for you. Here's Alex Bennett with more.
It's kind of hard to talk about, actually, but it introduces what you're about to hear. And what you're about to hear is an interview with John Lennon and Yoko Ono. And when we checked back, we looked at it, it's 43 years old. Now, that either makes me really old or really depressed that I'm getting that old. 43 years ago that I sat in a studio at WPLJ here in New York with John Lennon and Yoko Ono. How did it come about? It came about pretty simply. I got to know Yoko. We hung out, she, John, I, a whole bunch of other people, people like Phil Oakes and Paul Krasner. And stuff. We all hung out kind of in the same crowd, all right? So I had gotten to know Yoko, and I liked Yoko, and Yoko, I asked her to come on my show. There were two reasons. Number one reason was Yoko was a very interesting person to talk to. I think she was actually in many ways a way better interviewer than John, because she was an artist, and she was very smart and well-read, and we had some very nice times together. The other reason is obviously that I was hoping upon hope that at some point she would bring John down. But I never wanted to bring that up. I never wanted to say, you want to bring John down? Because I didn't want her for 1 minute to think that I was having her on because I wanted John on. And one day she suggested herself. She said, what about the next time I come by, I bring John with me? And I said, that would be really swell. It would help me. The radio station would love me for that. And, yeah, sure. And so one morning they arranged it and they came in and they did I was doing a morning show at the time at WPLJ, and, they came in and did the interview.
Do you find that you can move around with, relative ease?
Yeah.
You
know? Well, the kids seem a bit cooler these days, you know?
Really,
yeah.
Nice.
The only sort of oddballs we met have either been very high or drunk or something, you know.
Yeah.
And one of them, I said, well, I'll meet you in 10 minutes down the road, you know, and he staggered off, so I got rid of him. I mean, we even went to the Italian Street Festival. We're just being nice.
So let us have privacy or whatever.
Yeah. Like in Paris, it used to always be cool, but there they were sort of, you know, a bit sort of uptight people, the French, you know. So that was a different kind of cool.
Do you think it's kind of a psychological thing, though, that if you kind of don't work hard at keeping yourself unavailable, that people will not bug you as much as if you constantly hold yourself
behind
barred doors?
Maybe it is that, you know.
So
it probably is that. You see, when the image thing is built up and, you know, you can't see them and they're this and they're that, maybe it makes people more want to see it. But if you just sort of appear in here, there and everywhere, and more available.
Too, yeah.
Yeah.
How do you like being back in the air?
It's great. I can't believe that there's any change, you know. There isn't really. I mean, on the surface, it's all right, you know.
Well, you were here, what, about... you were part of the village scene about 10 years ago, weren't you?
Yeah.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello? Yes.
Alex?
Yes.
I'd like to ask John a question.
Sure.
John?
Yeah.
You were really great. I can't believe I'm speaking to a myth.
A myth?
Yeah.
Myth world or myth universe? thank you.
Have you heard Ringo's new single?
It Don't Come Easy.
Right.
Yeah, of course I've heard it.
What do you think of it?
I think it's beautiful. I'm very proud of him and happy that he's having such a success with it.
I think Ringo's really felt the influence of you guys. of you and Paul and George.
And vice versa, you know. I mean, we all helped each other.
I think what's phenomenal is the flip side of that record.
Oh, yeah, that one's a beauty, isn't it?
It's warm, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's about you.
We're all very pleased, you know.
Yeah, Ringo really is.
And he produced it himself, wrote it himself, and it's,
right.
It's delightful.
And another question.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few groups and people who are sort of imitating the Beatles, like Emmett Rhodes. Have you ever heard of Emmett Rhodes?
Emmett Rhodes?
Right.
I've heard the name. I've not heard any of his stuff.
He sounds like Paul.
Oh, good luck to him, you know.
You should listen to him. Maybe if you want to get together with the group and Paul, like, want to get together.
I don't want to recreate the past. You know, I want to be me now.
Oh, I see. Well, I heard your album recently, and it's a great album.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for calling.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
This guy, just before, you know, said that he was in the Fillmore East when we performed, you know, 2 days ago, and it was beautiful. He liked it very much.
Great.
You know.
It's WPLJ in New York. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Is that?
I was
oh,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Jim, just thinking of all the people, I know there are people crowding in the halls and so on, and... you just, of course, threw up in our bathroom. And
I'm wondering if the people
are going to relish that bathroom for months
I'm
now.
I'm donating it to the wildlife fund.
Well, it's healthy to throw up, you know.
Right. Does one good once. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good morning. Hello.
Hello, is this WPLJ?
Yeah, you're speaking to Alex Bennett and John Lennon's here in Yoko Ono. Go ahead.
I'm Pete Bennett.
What? Is this Alex Bennett?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
My father, Pete Bennett, is here, too.
Okay, ask a question of John Lennon.
Sure.
Go on.
Well, I have a friend who's been playing a lot of your music for me for a long time.
Lousy music?
A lot of your philosophies are in your music. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. I suppose that you could say that.
Oh, well. Because, you know, here's just about every album you've ever put out with the Beatles, you know, with yourself.
Oh, that's good.
And, you know, he always picks out little passages for me if I'm, you know, stoned out or tripping or something like that.
I see.
So I just wanted to, you know, ask you about that.
Well, what do you want to ask?
You know, you know, if you really did put your philosophies into your music.
Well, my music is an extension of me, so in that way it is, yeah.
Okay, thank you a lot.
Pleasure,
okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Recently I've been wondering exactly how the Beatles are as people. How the Beatles are as people, not as Beatles.
Well, you only have to look at our individual work and you'll get an inkling.
Right, well...
Well, the Beatles don't exist anymore, so...
Having you in New York, like, for the past week or so...
Yeah.
Like, I was at the Fillmore and I saw you there also.
Oh,
and listening to you and Yoko on the radio,
yeah.
it's really hitting home that you really are people, you know?
Sure, I'm glad.
And I just for one, as someone who's like followed, like, say, the myth,
yeah.
Like, it's incredible to see that you're really real, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad that we're here, you know, and we can communicate.
I mean, we were always people, but it was just there was such a big noise going around us that people thought maybe we weren't people.
Right, and it's nice to see the two of you together all the time.
Thank you. We enjoy it.
Sure. I enjoy it too.
Good.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye.
Do you find that at times that maybe became a problem when you were still interested in keeping the group going that? Somehow, when you would appear, you tend to break. There is a myth when you don't appear. I mean, people build you up larger than life.
Yeah.
Then when you appear, you're not larger than life anymore.
Right.
Did you find that at times you were sort of hesitant to appear in public because you were afraid you couldn't live up to the expectations?
That's why the Beatles stopped appearing in a way. I mean, we did stop at one time because we just got sick to death of it, but it got into a thing where people expected so much. That's why. The concept of the Plastic Ono Band, where anybody is in it that we happen to be with at the time.
You're in it, too.
You know, I mean, the initial announcement for the Plastic Ono Band was, you are the Plastic Ono Band. That's what the advert said. I don't know whether we put them out over here. And I don't want people to expect something of me, you know. So the funny thing happened. The first, we did a show together, Yoko and I, in Cambridge, where she had been booked to do her stuff, and I went along as the band, you know, and just played feedback.
Tell,
we
know,
never
we
told anybody.
It.
But the first major appearance we did was in Toronto. And the people there wanted us to do, you know, like, I don't know, Hey Jude or Come Together or something. But I didn't know any of them. The band had never played with us before. So I just did some old rock numbers I knew. And Yoko did her thing. And then, so they got used to that. And then we appeared at the Lyce. I played there with Klaus Voormann and Alan White, yes. Eric Clapton, and Yoko, and myself. Yes. And then we appeared in London at Lyceum Ballroom with the same three, four, or whatever it was, plus Delaney and Bonnie Band, plus some of the Who, plus George Harrison, and about 15 and 20-piece band.
That was recorded, wasn't it?
Yeah. I've got the tapes at home. I haven't remixed them yet. But they didn't get the voices properly, which is the drag. But then the crowd there were complaining because I wasn't singing Blue Suede Shoes now. Yeah. Off the Toronto album, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be stuck with no image of the Lyceum thing. We did two numbers, Cold Turkey and Don't Worry Kyoko, and they both lasted 20 minutes each, which is what we felt like doing then.
And Fillmore East is
Fillmore East, we did
one,
a completely different thing again, you know.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans to do concerts?
No, I didn't plan to go Fillmore on with Zappa or the Fillmore East, you know. I prefer it just to happen when I feel like it, not to have some date where so-and-so is expected of us.
Do you like getting on a stage, though?
I like it less than I used to, but I still feel like it now and then. I mean, it's quite a strange situation to stick yourself on one stage and be judged by a whole lot of people and, you know, your whole... You're sticking yourself in the stocks there. You know, I get a bit sick of that. You know, to me, making records is like writing poetry. It was in the old days. It's something private, and I release it or publish it.
But now, you see, he's talking and he's thinking intellectually like that. But, you know, when he was at the, Fillmore East, you know?
Yeah.
Until the last minute, he wasn't going to do anything. But he just felt like doing, because it's, you know, he just wanted to communicate, you know.
When I saw Zappa doing his thing, I thought,
right.
Let's get on.
Yeah, huh. How he got on, huh?
Good morning. Hello.
How you doing, huh?
Yeah.
You're CTU John Yoko?
Yeah,
we're here.
Oh, you're right there.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, Yoko, are you getting into any of your, therapies happening in poetry, any kind of stuff like that in New York?
Well, you see, I play it by ear, you know, whatever happens, happens, you know.
Okay.
I mean, what's happening now is a big happening, you know, like whatever I'm doing with John is a happening, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, and we just did this Fillmore East thing, and as I was telling, I mean, like, we didn't expect to do it, you know, until the last minute we didn't know that we were going to do it. But it happened. I mean, that's the best way that happenings happen, you know.
There was quite a happening on this radio station on Sunday night, too, with Yoko and I, if any of you heard it.
Yeah, we did that two-hour thing, was it?
Yeah,
or something.
That's enough of that.
Could you kind of run down, what therapy was like at Timeless Tip?
Well, it's hard to run down what it's like, because it's different for each person.
Well,
for
you.
For me, it was a good experience, and... it helped me a lot. I don't know whether it'd help everyone, you know. It just sort of worked for me. And I enjoyed it as much as you can enjoy torture. I can't really
write it
down. Is
it torturous?
You know? Well, I mean, it's very hard facing up to 30 years of falsehood or repressed emotion, which is what virtually it is. It's like, to put it one way, it's like a 6 or 7 month acid trip, but very slow, and you really see.
That really cuts through all that, huh?
Hmm? Right in. Oh, we didn't. They have to beep you every time you say bullfrog. It's amazing, isn't it?
They allow it on the BBC now, don't they?
Sure, they can say a lot on the BBC.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks,
okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care, have a good day.
Yeah, same to you.
What are you going to read us?
It's a book of full of instructions, and these are sort of extra instructions that would sort of help, help to survive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just read quickly several, actually. One is called Sun Peace. Watch the sun until it becomes square. You know, it's just one instruction like that. The other is Throwing Peace. Throw a stone into the sky high enough so it will not come back, you know, that kind of thing. But there's one that is a letter. And this is a letter that I sent to a gallery owner, you know, sort of a gallery guy. And it's called Re-Brief Meeting. Dear Nicholas, I think we could finally have the brief meeting we were discussing about. How about tomorrow night, 8:15? It'll be very brief, naturally. As usual, you are busy and I'm nervous, which amounts to the same thing. I cannot stay here longer than 20 minutes, so please come on time. It is best to come by foot, I think, since it is impossible to get a taxi around your place at that time. It is only a 5 minutes walk from your place. First, you make a left turn at the end of your street on the right and go about 50, 50-foot and turn right. You will see a sign saying one way, that is where you turn. And go until you see a coffee bar, not clean, on the left with a sign saying closed all the time, but it's not closed. You will see people in it. Then you go through the narrow side street of the coffee bar. This is a shortcut, and you will come out naturally on May Street. From there, it's just a matter of walking straight on until you hit Park Road. My building is the one on the first left. The above instructions are viewing the matter from my side, as it is too complicated to think from your side for me, and I don't want it to be too confusing. So you will simply have to reverse the instructions where it says right to left and left to right. But otherwise, this should get you to my place. Hoping to see you then, sincerely.
For a brief meeting, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Good morning. Hello.
Hello, Yoko. Hi, Bennett and John.
Hi.
Hi.
Two questions. First, John.
Yeah?
What kind of reaction did you get from your Rolling Stone article on you? Are you sorry about anything you said?
No, I'm not sorry. The reaction was stupendous. It's still reverberating around the world now. But it was like I was constipated for all those years, and I just got it off my chest, and that's it. I don't have to do it again, and I just feel better for doing it.
I see.
Nobody was injured for life by what I said. The close friends of mine understand what I was doing. That is the other Beatles, and they accepted it for what it was. And all is over, you know.
Okay.
Okay. One other question.
Yeah.
Pardon my ignorance. You don't have any children, do you?
I have one child, a boy, from the previous engagement.
I see. How are you bringing him up, in respect to religion? You know, what are you teaching him? God to believe in, or if he should believe in a God, or are you going to let him make up his own mind later?
I wouldn't shove religion down his throat at all, you know. I mean, if he wants to pick it up, he can pick it up, but I'd tell him to try and avoid it. But actually, my ex-engagement is doing most of that. She has him, and I see him at weekends normally. But I don't think she would ram any of that stuff down his throat.
You know, John is giving a kind of moral support, you know, and I think John is very liberal, actually, in that sense, you know.
A dirty word.
In a way, you know. But because, you know, all it matters is for him to be happy, right?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Right. It's very, very hard to hear.
Yeah. Oh, sorry about that. Well, Yoko just said, as long as he's happy, you know, let him do his thing. But I'd try and keep religion out of his life. It causes too much pain for people.
But if he asks you, say he finds out from his friends, his little playmates, about Judaism or Catholicism or any of the Far Eastern religions, and he asks you about them, and he asks, which is better, or which is right, or which is wrong?
Yeah.
What would you tell him?
I'd tell him that they're all as right as each other if he's interested in that thing, but I prefer him to deal with his life from day to day and not be dreaming of something in the sky or something that's going to come when he's dead. But the main thing is to live now.
But it doesn't hurt to know things. You see, like, John would probably explain what they are. You know, like, Judaism, all right, the structure of Judaism is et blah, 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 you know.
I see.
Bra, bra, bra.
Thank you.
You can judge for yourself.
Thank you for calling. I was mentioning to John that you still seem to be an inveterate punster.
Well, you know, it must happen naturally, because I don't even notice it anymore. It just rolls off, you know.
I heard someone once say that it is, at one point, the most intelligent form of humor, and it is also the most terrible.
I would agree with that. Sincerely.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yoko?
Yoko, put your head on.
Oh, get your head on. Wait a minute, she's got to get her earphone on.
Yoko, you on now?
Yeah, I am,
I brought your album. I have to say that my 22-month-old sister loves you.
Oh, great, thank you.
Stay in the room, you know, where I play records. She loves it.
Which one do you like?
22-year-old sister. 22-month-old.
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 Oh, great. That's the greatest compliment, right?
Shut up, pure it is.
John, whatever happened to Pete Best?
Pete Best? Well, nothing happened to him.
I mean, well, what did he do after?
At one time he went touring America with the Pete Best Band, you know, and all that jazz. And I suppose he was hyped and hustled, and then He was married, and he settled down and was working in a bakery, and then I just read something about him recently, but I can't remember what he was doing, you know? I can't remember.
Oh, but he's not in, you know, he's not in the band anymore.
No, no, no. He was writing that he's glad, by the way things turned out, he was writing he was glad he missed it all.
Oh, okay. And when's your album going to come out? Do you have any idea?
Probably September.
Okay.
Because we're making a movie of it at the same time, which will probably be on TV around the same time.
Yeah, and one other thing. Who played organ on Isolation?
That was me, baby. Mm-hmm. That was me.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Nice talking to you.
Same to you.
Good morning. Hello.
Hello?
Yes. Hello? Wake up. Hello.
Have you had breakfast yet?
Hello.
Hello. We're on. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Right.
Can I speak to John?
We're on. You're speaking to him now.
John.
Yes?
About Abbey Road.
Yeah?
Did you, who's singing Oh Darling? You or Paul?
Paul singing that.
Paul singing it?
Couldn't you tell?
No, it's, well, my friend said it was Paul, but it sounded very much like you.
No, no. Well, we do tend to sound alike sometimes. Now, that's Paul.
Oh, and also, how come you suddenly, at the beginning, threw Pete Best out of the group?
Because he couldn't play very well.
Is that why?
Sure, why else?
Oh, I don't know. also, about the...
That's really bringing up an old story.
Right. Pete Best, that's too
now would you like to
that old story.
Now would you like to know the social significant meaning of I Want to Hold Your Hand?
Right.
That means lay it on me, baby.
Do you still not have anything to do about that thing at the end of Strawberry Fields? Which says, I buried Paul.
It doesn't say, it says cranberry sauce. Cranberry sauce.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, then.
Do you plan on doing any personal tours anymore with, like, the Plastic Ono Band?
I don't plan on it. You never know, you know? I might go on the road with Zappa or something. Well,
what about in the city now? Are you going to be doing any more personal appearances anywhere?
No. We didn't plan what we did at the Fillmore, you know? No,
just
I won't
happened.
Be doing any more.
Hmm.
Can I speak to Yoko, please?
Yes.
I'm here.
Yoko?
Yes.
I just want to tell you that you're very beautiful.
Oh, that's very sweet of you. I'm sure my husband loves that.
Yes, I agree.
Very beautiful person.
Thank
and John?
Yes?
Out of all the Beatles, you turn out to be the one with the most beautiful mind.
Oh, thank you.
Oh,
thank
I'm very
you.
Happy with that.
Very nice talking to you.
Same to you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Hello.
Alex?
Yeah.
Yes. Last time I got cut off about half an hour ago.
Oh, okay. Well, you made it yeah. now.
Okay, well, anyhow, I had a couple of questions here. all right, Yoko?
Yes?
Really can't hear you well, all right.
Can you hear me now?
We put the speakerphone in the middle of the donut.
Yeah.
Okay,
can you hear me?
Not too well, but I can make out what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyhow, I first heard your music through John's single.
Yes?
And a couple of friends and myself. We had a very unusual experience. We'd never heard, well, we'd heard a little bit of your stuff before, but really listened to it.
Yeah.
And it was Touch Me, and we put on the headphones and turned up the volume like as loud as it could go on about
the
second or third listening, and the physical experience was really amazing.
Oh, that's
the way to hear it. Loud and right on.
And, like, I just wanted to ask you if you feel like your work could be described strictly in musical terms.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's... I think it's music, you know?
I mean, how would you describe it in musical terms?
Oh, it's just simple communication, you know? I'm trying to communicate.
Emotion.
And, you know, I think our emotions are so complicated, I mean, 20th century, I don't think you can... express it in simple four beats and that, you know what I mean? And, you know, music is getting too formal. So I try to put my emotion into my music in exactly the way what an emotion is, you know? And it comes out like that.
One of the things Yoko says is, like, if you're drowning, you don't say, would it be possible for somebody to come over from the land there and help me? Because at this moment I'm sinking in volume 2D of water. You just say, help!
You know,
and that's what
she's
saying.
Sort of the you know, extreme emotion. And we all have extreme emotions. We're just living on the edge of extreme emotion every day, you know. And we translate our emotion into a very sophisticated language, and when I see you, maybe I want to say, how are you? You know, I want to talk to you, you know. But instead we say, oh, how are you? I'd like to talk to you very much, you know. And it's false emotion when you put it in language like that.
It's the old Lenny bit. It's the old Lenny bit about saying good night. Everybody goes, good night, good night, good night, good night. Nobody means it.
Yeah. Right, right.
Nobody really says good night.
Yeah. And I just find myself stuttering in my mind before I speak, you know, and when I speak, I translate my stuttering into so-called refined language. But that has nothing to do with my emotion. And I like to really stutter, you know?
Do you feel, Yoko, though, that your music may be ahead of its time? I stated when I first heard it that the first time I heard it, I said, I don't get it. I said, but I just think, come 1980, this is going to be the norm rather than the exception.
Well, I think it's a very normal.
And then,
music,
as I got used to it, I really got to dug it. And the last album, I thought was phenomenal. I thought that you had finally gotten it together.
I don't understand.
But do you think maybe it's still ahead of its time?
Well, I don't know. You see, I didn't think in that terms. I really think that I'm trying to be honest to myself. And if I'm honest to myself, because I'm a human being, I think anybody can understand it. It's very simple music to understand it. You know
what she had to do to. She'd got to a state that she was so far out that she was holding silent concerts. And then it got to a point of how many silent concerts could she do?
You know, the music
and
of the mind.
For her, she had to regress to expressing it with her voice. And then again, to put a beat on it. And even then, it's sort of 10 years ahead. But what I don't understand is that our generation who dug Wop Bop Loom Wop Bop Bam Boo and Long Tall Sally, which didn't really mean much, especially to people who weren't black, all those expressions, those were sort of black underground expressions. It was just pure sound. Richard just sang with a pure screaming sound.
Yeah.
It wasn't that different. To me, Yoko is just now little Richard doing Wop Bop Loom Wop.
Touch Me, if you would touch me, I'd appreciate if you, you know, hear my album, because Touch Me is one of the pieces in my album. But the other, you know, songs have something about it too. And, you know, to me, my music is not an intellectual music, you know. I mean, it's emotion, you know.
Did you get the answer then?
Hello?
Are you still there?
Yeah.
Did you get the answer?
I mean, it comes across, so you can just about hear it, but...
Well, turn your radio up. What is it?
We're on a delay.
Oh.
Thank you for calling.
One question?
One more question? Okay, quickly.
Let's see. I understand that you deleted the two F dashes on Working Class Hero for some EMI version.
No, Working Class Hero went out as it was. Some of the radio stations deleted the word or put it in backwards.
I think he means in Britain where they deleted the words on the printed lyrics.
On the printed lyrics, that did happen.
That's all it was.
They're insane, though, aren't they? I mean, they put F dash 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 on the lyric sheet inside the album, but they put the album out. They did the same in, Spain and all the other sort of...
Oh, right. I thought it was something worse than that. And also, do you think your new album will be more of a musical statement than the first was?
Yeah, I think there's... You could say there was more sort of music or tunes in it, because I'm feeling more tuneful and relaxed. You'll hear it when it comes out, but...
When should that be?
It will be September, probably.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, thank you.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, thank you.
Don't forget Jaime's Butcher's Shop, Memphis East Avenue. You get raw pig and tomato ketchup.
You did an American accent there.
Oh, really?
Right.
Simply wonderful of you to notice that.
How do you... I always am interested in having someone who is British or from some other country do an American accent.
Yes, I understand.
Could you do a little more of an American accent for us?
Well, if you ask me, I couldn't do it. You see, it just has to.
It just has to come out.
On me, you know, I'm not an impersonator like.
Everybody talks about. Let me say the WPLJ in New York. Everybody talks about the.
This is a
WPLJ. About your recent album as being like your first solo album, but really it wasn't. I mean, you had Two Virgins.
We did
and
Two Virgins, Life of the Lions,
the wedding album.
Toronto Live in Peace in Toronto, and then that album.
And numerous singles.
So that's how many? Two Virgins, Life with the Lions, Wedding Album, Toronto, and the Plastic Ono one. That's five.
And that Life with the Lions, the thing that I liked was where you were reading the newspaper clippings.
Oh, yeah. We were in hospital at the time, Yoko and I together, and Yoko just had a miscarriage, and we were reading out the newspaper clippings about that, I think. That's what it was, yeah.
Very effective.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Do you feel those albums were... well, except Two Virgins, of course, wasn't ignored because you had a cover, and
yeah,
it became a...
It was like a myth more than...
Yeah, but you know...
But did you feel that the other albums were kind of ignored in a way?
Well, right. Let's say they sold 40 or 50,000 over here, which is pretty decent for something so far out, you know?
I think Life with the Lions is much more far out than my recent album, you know?
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
What we did was really go more commercial with Yoko's stuff.
Yeah.
But I think in the future people would buy them, you know?
And that newspaper thing, you know, I was in a hospital bed, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I was feeling pretty sort of doped with all the stuff that they gave me and everything, and I wasn't in my best, you know, condition or anything. But because we relaxed, you know, and that was like, it shows that how we work with each other, you know. Somehow sort of we sparked off each other and relaxed and everything.
In fact, that was recorded on a cassette machine, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. We just did it in the hospital.
One day I was talking to a newsman and I was mentioning that it just seems that that the world is becoming a theater of the absurd. And he said, no, it always has been. It's just we have more microphones to record
right.
it.
True, yeah, that's true.
And the use of, for instance, a cassette recorder to record a momentary emotion and then put it on a disc, I think is a fascinating prospect.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about, you know, that you've worked with film, and we were talking during a break about videotape, which I've just gotten into, that I find the most amazing single tool that I've ever found.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
You can shoot it right now and play it back right now, and you can let people watch themselves. I remember one night we were sitting around eating, and somebody had an apple, and we were passing the apple around, and I somehow was photographing this with the videotape recorder. And then I said, let's play it back. And as we played it back, we were passing the apple from one to another as it was going on the screen. And it was the weirdest feeling in the world. It was kind of like it was a mirror, but it wasn't. We were imitating ourselves being ourselves on the screen.
Beautiful.
Ringo and I used to film videotape ourselves playing snooker, you know. It was crazy, see. It's beautiful, you know, because it's a very slow game.
I did the station break. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
I'd like to speak to Dan?
Yeah, you are speaking to him. Hello.
I heard on your radio station that you were coming out with a poster. Is it true?
With a what?
That you were coming out with a poster.
A poster?
A new one of you and Yoko. And they said sometime this year, but they didn't say when.
Well, I don't know, but... I mean, it's possible. It's the first I've heard about it, but we'll do it.
I see. I wish you and Yoko lots of luck and continued success.
Thank you.
And I hope they extend your visa longer than until Tuesday.
Okay, thank you very much.
To Wednesday, at least.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Can I speak to John?
No.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Hello.
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 Yeah, I was just wondering, is there anybody that you haven't done so already with that you'd like to put an album with?
There's probably
songs or something?
There's probably a few people. I can't think of them offhand, you know.
No. Okay, just curious.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
I'd like to speak to John.
Yeah, I'm here.
I'd like to compliment you and Yoko, you know, on your work.
Thank you very much.
And I would like to ask you, like, what's the best way for an amateur, like, songwriter, like myself, like, I'm only 17 years old, to make it?
I've no idea. There's no cut-and-dried formula. If there was, everybody would just be making it, you know. You just have to carry on.
I know, like, you're a very honest type person with your music and, you know, like, it's your ideas. And so are we with our music, you know, like, it's our ideas. Like, we only have, like, me and our guitarist. I play guitar and another guitarist and a girl singer.
Yeah.
And, would you mind listening to some words I've written?
What, now?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, if you like. The best thing to do is go to Washington Square and sing like all the others do.
Yeah, well, like, see, like, we've had a lot of people, you know, listen to us, and people dig it, but, like, most people are into, like, the grand funk stuff.
Well, do it, you know. I don't know what you expect from me, but you can do it.
Yeah, well, I would just like, you know, maybe, like, your opinion, you say, I guess,
okay,
like, I respect you, you know, your opinion.
Best luck to you.
Okay, can I read it?
Yeah?
It's called The Dedicated Farmer.
What?
The Dedicated Farmer.
Farmer, okay.
A family within his crops he lives, known only to himself, the dedicated farmer. Lets himself be disregarded among all who claim to be highly regarded. With his will and his will, he fills himself with all the ideas he sees of being a joyful pebble in the earth, a friendly ant society. The second verse goes, a family without his crops he dies, known only to himself, the dedicated farmer. Sees himself being regarded among all who claim to be very regarded. Without his well and his will, he empties himself of all the ideas he sees of being a joyful pebble in the earth, a friendly ant society. He sees an angry boulder in the earth as himself and society.
Is that the end?
Excuse me?
Is that the end?
Yes.
Well, you know, offhand, I just like the first verse, and that would do.
Yeah.
There's no point in repeating it.
Do you think by, like, giving tapes to, like, record companies that could get us anywhere?
I don't really know, you know. I mean, in the old days at Apple, we used to try and listen to everything, but then you found yourself spending your whole time listening to other people's stuff and never doing any of your own. I mean, the record companies do listen to some of it, but I really don't know, you know. I've no idea how you do it, really, you know. I mean, we had Epstein who sort of took us round the companies, and we just auditioned for all of them, and they all turned us down, and finally we had another chance with him, and we finally got on. You really have to just keep pushing and hope for the best, you know.
Okay. Struggle.
Thank you. Fight, all right, you know.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Wasn't the first producer ever to produce you Burt Kempfert?
Oh, yeah, he did it in Germany, but he thought we were too far out and bluesy, you know, so he preferred Sheridan.
So you just backed him up?
Yeah, there was a couple of tracks we did, you know. I did Ain't She Sweet and...
There was a rumor, I think I read it in Rolling Stone, that there was some bootlegger who has tapes, Beatle tapes, that have yet to be released, that have not been released. Is there a lot of Beatle material that hasn't been released?
Well, I can't think what it is. The only tapes I know of are Hollywood Bowl, Shea Stadium, and somebody that did something on us in Italy, where it's all the same songs over and over again anyway. There were no other German tapes that Polydor didn't release.
I mean, is there any original material, new material, that has not been released?
The only stuff that could be would be some auditions we did for Decca around in 61 or 2 or something like that.
But in other words, there'd be no recent material, stuff that you had kicked around in the studio and not completed?
Not that I know
of,
yeah. The only unreleased Beatle track that I've got any clue about is some lousy 12-bar.
That's it, huh?
Yeah.
So, because it was said that at the time that the breakup started taking place, that there were like 12 hours worth of material yet to be released that hadn't been released.
Well, let's hear it. You know, I haven't heard it.
You'd like to hear it. When was Across the Universe recorded?
It was first recorded at the end of the White Album, I think. It was just I couldn't get it on because we'd done so much material. And then I gave it to this Wildlife Fund. It wasn't a very good recording, you know. By the end of the double album, we were really sick of recording. It was a shame because I liked the song. And I gave it to these people for the Wildlife Fund or something. And then I tried to do it again when we were making Let It Be. But anybody who saw the film saw what reaction I got when I tried to do it. So finally, Phil Spector took the tape and did a damn good job with it and made a fairly reasonable sound out of it. Then we released it again.
Some people complained about Spector's work in that album.
Well, I'm sure anybody... I think Paul started all that off by blabbing off about it. But if anybody listens to the bootleg version, which was the version which was pre-Spector, and listens to the version Spector did, they would shut up. You know, if you really want to know the difference between what... The tapes were so lousy and so bad... Though none of us would go near them to touch them. They'd been lying around for 6 months. None of us could face remixing them. It's the only album.
It was a monumental task, I understand.
Oh, it was terrifying, yeah. And Spector did a fantastic job on them.
Chronologically, Abbey Road was really the last album, wasn't it? I mean, Let It Be was technically, it was recorded before Abbey Road.
Yeah. Well, what about it?
Well, no, I was just, because people tend to think of Let It Be as being the last recorded works of the Beatles.
Actually,
where
Abbey Road was the last job, yeah.
How did you come to doing that medley? How did you get the idea to put it together in that form?
It was mainly Paul. It was just these bits of songs left over that had never been finished, you know. I think that's what Paul did on Ram, really, which I don't dig, you know. just taking half a song and putting a few guitar bits in and then thinking it's an opera or something.
Of course, you've been known to take bits of a couple of songs that you've written and putting them together, like A Day in the Life was that way, wasn't it?
Yeah, then make a song, a whole song out of it. I think that's different than just sort of stringing all bits together, you know.
Happiness is a Warm Gun seems to be one of those kinds.
Yeah, right, but that had a whole story to it, you know. I mean, I don't think it has the same feel as the Abbey Road thing. And that was all still in 3 minutes. I really like trying to say it all in about 3 or 4 minutes. You know, it's like a short news message rather than a prolonged novel.
I think that, it's been said many times that sometimes a short statement is far better than a long, extended statement.
I prefer newspaper headlines to the stories.
Right. We have about 2 or 3 minutes left. Right. And I just want to open the microphones to you to say anything you want to New York City.
Well, how you doing, New York City?
Good old city.
Yes,
it's a
beautiful
ugly
place.
Beauty. I mean, you know, it's a real gutsy city. Yeah.
I've just got to see the village for the first time, all the different parts of it. And it's really a groove, you know. I'm really jealous that I didn't have that 10 years that Yoko had in the village. But I might have been a different guy, better or worse. It's a beautiful place, the village, and I don't think it, people say, oh, it's all over, the village scene, but I don't think it is. The kids are still coming from out of town to the village, and they're singing, there's a nice guy singing the Pope Smokes Dope, and so, all the such songs in Washington Square. It was beautiful, you know, I mean, it's a great place, and the East Village is beautiful, too.
But
and the shops
are
beautiful.
I love it.
I really feel at home there. We're just walking around, you know, these kids come on. They have all these stalls and things like that. And they just come up and give us a candle and a badge, you know. There's a great guy there that makes badges instantly. You know, he takes a photo of you with a Polaroid camera, then sort of cuts out the head and shoulders bit and jams in it in some kind of potato masher and goes, chichong, and you have instant badge. And that's fantastic. You can get a badge with your own face on. There's so much stuff. I mean, New York to most people from Britain or Europe is America. I mean, you know, apart from the Hollywood side of it.
The cream of America, yeah.
That's the picture you always get as a child. I mean, we're brought up on that skyline of Manhattan. And it's a real dream to be here and to be and feel part of it.
I mean, you know, I still think that New York has something that the West Coast never would have, you know?
That wait till you get the West Coast, baby.
A polluted Hudson River to begin with.
Yeah,
right,
wonderful.
Right.
Listen, it's been a delight. I'm glad we finally got together.
Yeah, me too.
It was very nice to meet you too, Alex. Yeah.
And I think it was quite a happening. I got, what is it? What's that paper called?
Oh, you got summons.
I got summons and I spewed up on the air. I mean, that's really a happening, isn't it? I mean, that's live radio.
Yeah,
I love radio. I think it's a beautiful thing.
I think the great thing about it is it's instantaneous.
Right, right.
And there's a whole new area for you to work on.
Yeah, it's a dream, you know. Radio's a dream. You can lie down in bed and you don't have to keep your eyes open. You just go along with it.
John Lennon, Yoko Ono, thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure. Bye-bye.
So Alex thanks John and Yoko, and they go off into the night, right? But that's not the entire interview. Up next, listen to John get served a summons live on the radio. That's next as GabNet Flashback continues. You know her from the Citizen Panel.
I'm really into pop culture, movies, and really just geek culture. Maybe on a live stream Friday night, I'll take you guys on a tour of the apartment.
She's smart. She's snarky. Quick-witted. She's a geek. It's Miranda Janelle, and GabNet has her.
The new Ninja Turtles movie. I cannot imagine Michael Bay making a good Ninja Turtles movie. I'm still going to go see it because I want to give it a chance. I can't talk about disliking the movie just because Michael Bay made it.
Tuesday and Thursday nights at midnight Eastern, join her for Getting Geeky with Miranda Janelle.
And Katie Sackhoff, Starbucks from Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
It's the kind of movie that would scare the crap out of me, but I'll go see it anyway.
And I know you would go with me.
When Patrick and I did the Star Wars trivia with Revelstoke Jim, Patrick had his Yoda, I had my Darth Vader, you know. I'm really into geek culture. You know, you ask me to define myself in one word, I always say geek.
Join the Citizen Panel and get geeky with Miranda Janelle. Tuesdays and Thursdays at midnight Eastern, only on GabNet. This is GabNet, the Great American Broadcast Network. Talk radio like you've never heard it before. back to Gabnet Flashback. I'm Rob Alfano. In this final segment, listen to John get served a summons right in the studio on the air.
Just remember, as you listen to this program, that at the time that we did it, suits were flying back and forth between Alan Klein and the Beatles people, the Eastman people, back and forth over Apple, over the money at Apple, over who was an asshole and who wasn't an asshole. And so there were a lot of legal things going on at that time. Just remember that as you listen to the interview.
Anybody here seen Kelly? K-E-L-L-Y. What's this?
We have a special delivery for you.
Special delivery. It's a bomb. Oh, it's my leaving. What's this? Oh, I'm hereby summoned. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I've just been summoned. Bye.
They should have never kicked me out there, and you just handed him a summons.
Oh, I see.
That's just a job. That don't mean nothing.
Oh. Northern Songs are summonsing me and Paul and Linda and John Doe and Richard Rowe. I didn't know Andy was involved in it.
Well, our life is always so...
Do you often get summonses while you're doing radio programs?
This is the first time I've actually had a summons on the air, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you. What? It's a lot of wonderful paper. And it has flowers on the back of it. You are hereby summoned to answer the complaint in this action and to serve a copy of your answer, or if the complaint is not served with this summons, to the service of...
Right after paper.
We get about one a month, you know how it is. They're still fighting over the Beatles gold mine.
Are you up to here in legal?
I'm up to here in legal.
Up to here in legal. If all this hassle...
They needn't have gone through this. They could have just sent it to the office.
It's the last... Oh, Pete's finding it for him.
It's a good idea you had, Yoko.
Right. I always managed to have very difficult ideas.
It's not mentioned on the thing there. They are crazy.
It's not mentioned.
I remember Sergeant Pepper at the end of it. There was a sort of noise going.
Is it in the spiral?
Yeah.
Oh, this is in the spiral.
Yeah.
It's in the spiral.
I think so.
That's why you can
take it back. It's in the spiral.
It's in the spiral.
Now, after paper shoes, around in the spiral.
Have you had your breakfast yet? Good morning. Okay. There's traffic in the East Village.
Right in
here.
While they're doing that, if the action goes through, will Apple still exist or will it be completely dissolved?
This is not to do with Apple. This is to do with, I don't know how much I can say about it. This is to do with Northern Songs and Mac Len, which are both to do with the publishing of Paul and Mine's song. I think it has something to do with Paul and Linda writing the things. I'm not sure, you know.
Uh-huh.
I think it's because Paul and I own Mac Len between us, most of it anyway. Apple only owns a bit of it. But that Apple Jazz, that receiver thing, the receiver has not received Apple. He's received the Beatles partnership, or whatever it's called, which is 5%
of Apple.
Yeah, no, 5% of the Beatles used to be one whole thing.
Yeah.
And they sold 80% to Apple. As if Apple was a separate company.
I see.
And the 5% remaining is what the receiver is in charge of, which really all it did was, pay for your auntie's flowers or get the window pane fixed. So that's what he's doing.
So that's the entire interview from 43 years ago, June 8th, 1971, with John and Yoko. We hope you enjoyed this rare gem from Alex's archives, and in the coming weeks and months, we'll feature more treasures from Alex's huge and interesting archives. So, until next time, I'm Rob Alfano. Thanks for listening.